And I just sensed the Lord to say, I just want to help you to hit it on point, be accurate, don't overspend, don't buy things that you don't need with money that you don't have. Don't get caught up in that. A few weeks ago, I talked about one of my points was to get rid of junk, throw it out. And I said, I wasn't good at it. Well, I want you to know I've been getting better at it. And I'm throwing stuff in the dumpster. And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, when I'm throwing it in there, when I bought it, man, I wanted it. I thought I needed it. I found out I didn't need it at all. And I don't even want it now. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But what I really want is what God can do in the lives of people. I'm thinking about it, I'm just pondering. Sometimes I have a little cry session about how he's really helped some people in their lives, some families, some marriages, some individuals. It's going to be, for some of you, if you'll trust him with your life, this will be the greatest Christmas that you've ever had. You say, that can't be for me. I've had too much hurt and loss in my life. But God, he can't bring back a loved one. But he can give you the peace and the joy to get above it and to live life and to move forward and use it as a benchmark in your life to remember, but not as a mark to pull you down and to discourage you, and to make you depressed and hopeless. There's hope for your life today. Come on today. There's hope for your life today. And I just believe that God's going to use this morning. He's going to help somebody. So, Father, I pray just for the next few minutes that you will take everything that is said and everything that is done, your word, God, bring it alive, God. Interject your Holy Spirit as it comes out of my mouth. Let it touch the ears of every person, Lord, with that bombast that you and only you can give to it. I give you praise and all the thanks for it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said, amen. Now, I just want to talk to you for a few minutes on this giving matters. And it is a matter. It is something that we should look at. But it is also, that word has so many different meanings to it that what you do and what you do give, it really does matter. And our society stresses us out as to what we're going to do and how we're going to do things in this season. And for many, we just wait and we go and go and go. And then all of a sudden, December 26th is here and we wake up and we look at the other side of this season and we think, is that all there is? We're looking at a pile of paper and empty boxes. And I don't know if you ever have experienced this, but I know growing up when our kids were little, sometimes I'd buy them things and they'd end up using and playing in the box that what I bought them came into. And I thought, what an idiot I am. I spent all that. And I remember when Ben and Ryan were little and we'd do that and they'd play all day in the box. Could care less what came in it. And I remember looking at Patty and said, what have we done here? What are we doing here? And she'd say, oh, honey, it's okay. They just like it. They'd play in that box. They'd get in it. They'd roll around in it. That's where Ben started learning how to play drums, is on those boxes. Right? He'd play those boxes, and he actually played better on the boxes than he did this morning. I'm just messing. Just want to see if you're listening, that's all. But giving matters, and what we give to, and God calls us not only to be givers, but to be great stewards of what he has entrusted us with. Because he's like a natural father. If we steward what he has entrusted us with, he can trust us with more. And all that you have, my friends, today, you're nothing more than a steward. I'm telling you, you can think all you want that you got this and you got that. But as I said earlier, you can save up, you can do it. And I'm not against it. I believe in responsibility with your finances and good stewardship and good management. And if you don't do that, we can help you with that. We know the people that can. In fact, we're gonna start that back up at the beginning of the year. I didn't even ask him, but Jack Wagner, he's going to lead another Bible study on that. Don't you just like how I just declare stuff and it is so? And because he helped people last year to learn how to be stewards over what God has given it. Everything that you have, you are a steward over it. You don't own anything. And the moment you think you own it, wait until something comes into your life. You'll find out how much you own and what really matters to you. And the Apostle Paul was, He's teaching Timothy on this in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 through 19. He says this. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. And you may be sitting there and say, well, that's for the rich people. That doesn't pertain to me. But do you know that if you're living in this world and you have a household income of $44,000, that you're in the top 1% of the most richest people on the face of the earth? That if you have a household income of $25,000, you're in the top 10% of the wealthiest people on the earth. Come on, just stretch yourself a little back and say, I didn't know that, but I'm feeling good about it. If you make, if your household income is $11,344, you are in the top 13% of the world. So I'm talking to rich folk today. And he says, to those that are rich, don't put your hope in your wealth, which is so uncertain. But he says, put your hope in God, who richly provides us with what? Everything for our enjoyment. He says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And here's the point that I just want to really drive home to you and I today is that God is calling you and I not under compulsion, but he's calling you and I to be willing to give what he has entrusted us to, because he's not trying to get anything from you. He's just trying to flow it through you. You are only a vessel that he entrusts with the resources of this earth, and that if he can get it through you, he will get it to you and get more than you could ever imagine. No, I'm telling you, there's some testimonies in here, and I'm working on one myself, and I can't wait to share it with you. But he doesn't want you to feel forced. He doesn't want you to feel coerced in any way. But he wants you and I to live our lives as willing givers and vessels that will be used by the hand of God. And you say, you know, Pastor, why? This is Christmas time. I don't want to hear this now. But you need to hear it now, because you and I need to exercise great stewardship over what we have. And I felt this morning early when I was praying early this morning, I didn't sleep worth beans last night, but I feel great today in spite of it. But I felt like God told me today, because I was struggling, I'd rather preach about peace or a silent night or a holy night or something like that. And I felt the Lord say to me that this morning the word of the Lord is going to break free a log jam in somebody's life where they've tried, they've come up, and they can't just seem to go past where they are in the area of their finances and their stewardship. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here or if that means anything to anybody here, but if that's you, I just reach out and say, that is me right now. I want that in my life. And I'm not doing this. I'm not going to, you know, we're not going to be at the end and hype up some big offering. I don't do that. That's not me. But God is just calling you and I to be willing in our giving. Philippians 2:13 says that God is working in you to make you willing and able to obey him. You may think, well, you know, some of the things he's asking me to do, I just can't do it. But if you let him work in you, he will move you and mold you into that place to make you willing and cause you to obey him. He says in 2 Corinthians 8:12, he said, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable to what one has, not according to what one does not have. He'll make you willing. He'll cause that to come on you. And he's not looking so much as what you give as how you give it. If you're giving, gritting your teeth, don't give. Don't give, because nothing's going to happen with it anyways. Because God loves a cheerful giver. He loves somebody that gives with this heart of willingness to sow into the work of the kingdom of God. And I just want to give you some thoughts, reasons why I give, why you should give. And maybe you should write down some of your own reasons why you give or why you don't give. And the first one is obedience. I don't feel that I'm obligated, but I love to obey and do what God has called me to do. I'm going to give because the one I've surrendered my life to instructs me to give. And even when some people say, don't do it, you don't need to do that. No, God's word is clear. He has called me to be a giver, and I'm going to be obedient to that. The other reason that I give is because great joy. I get great joy when I give. I love giving things away. I love blessing people. I love going through the drive-thru when I go to get my hair cut and going to Tim Hortons because it's the only time I ever bring that coffee into my car. And I buy the people behind me. And the Lord just impressed on me some time ago, I want you to buy two cars worth. What a joy that is. And not even telling them who does it. It's a joy that comes into my life. Because the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to get. And if you're not experiencing that, just ask God to help you with that. Because when you get there and you give like that, God is just going to, he can't help but just pouring out something great over your life. I give because of the covenant that I have with God. And not only with God, but I have a covenant with you as well. You see, last week I spoke on the subject that we're better together. And you and I can do so much more together than we can do individually. And when I am working together with you, we can make a difference. I give up, and the covenant here means I give up what is good, what is just good for me, and I make decisions for what's good for us. And when we're in that covenant, we don't live just unto ourselves. We live unto what everyone else is, what the good for of everyone else is. That's the covenant that I live on. I told somebody a few weeks ago, they were telling me that they were surprised that I've been here as a pastor as long as I have. And I just said, well, you know, I just plan on dying here. And I told that to somebody else this past week. They said, you want to die in the pulpit? Well, I said, not really, but I mean, I feel like I'm going to be around here. When that happens, who knows? I may. If I don't, or if I do die in the pulpit, I don't want anybody crying. Rufus, crank up the organ, dance, because I just stepped into glory. I'm with Jesus, and the promise of God is come near me. I've got a covenant. I give because I have a vision. Listen, this is what I was saying earlier. I'm giving towards something that won't end up in the dumpster, but something that will end up in eternity. That's so important because when you give, you make a difference in other people's lives. I never thought that when we bought this building, and the people that were here when we did it, they gave, they worked hard, they labored, people gave their blood, their sweat, their savings account. I didn't see the people that would come in years later and give their hearts to Christ and see a transformation. You heard me tell many stories. I tell them about Brad. I tell them about Chris. I've told things about Terry. There's many. I could go across here. People that are here, people that have been here and have gone on, the lives that have been touched. I never in my wildest imagination thought that this day would come when we were going to see the fulfillment of what God had called us to. But you can know for sure that when you give to God, you're not just giving to a thing or stuff. You're giving for eternity's sake. And I give because although I don't give to get, but I know the word says that when I do give, there is a blessing laid up for me. That when I position myself for God's blessing in my life and protection is when I give, he releases something over my life. Deuteronomy 15:10 says, give generously, do it without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and everything that you lay your hand to. And I'm telling you, when I give, I'm just not looking for him to give back to me in a financial way. I'm thanking God every day that my kids are all sane and they have jobs and two of them are married and one is single and available. And that I have five beautiful grandkids that love the Lord and I get to spend time with. Let me tell you something. When you partner with God, there is a blessing that is going to come back to you and a measure that you never believed could ever happen to you, and you can't stop it. It's just going to come when you give to him. Come on, you ought to clap better than that. I didn't tell the story in the first service. I don't think I've told it before, but I think it was Kim Wagner that told me that when the kids were down at Utica, she said she looked over when they were taking the offering and they saw my grandson, Gabe, handing money to some of the kids that they'd spent their money or they didn't have it to give into the offering. I never, I don't think I ever taught them that. I've done it with my own kids. I've done it with people before. But I'm telling you, that is a blessing in my life. You could give me $1 million and it wouldn't compare to me hearing that kind of testimony today. And God will pour upon you in every, he'll bless you in all your work. Hey, I had no upbringing how to be a father, let alone a grandfather. I never knew any of my grandparents, but God has called me and blessed me to be one of the greatest grandpas on the face of this earth. I said one of the best. I also give because I want to set an example of what you're going to be remembered for. When my father-in-law, Andy, died and I was the executor of his will, we had to go through the checkbook to find out, and like every third or fourth check, City Church, City Church, City Church. Man, I had a good father-in-law, City Church. I told you the story a few weeks ago about 1 year, it's coming harvest season, a neighbor came, said, can you help fill our silo? He says, sure, we can do that. We filled all of our silos, and we filled his, and I said to my father-in-law, I said, you going to send him a bill for that? Did you get paid? He goes, oh, I don't want nothing for that. I go, what? You don't want nothing for that. That's, you know, we're talking $12,000, $15,000. No, I don't want nothing for that. I go, you can't do that. We worked hard for that. He looked at me, he said, did God bless us? Yeah. Well, then let it go. We're going to sow into that. God blessed us, and we're going to bless someone else. I was mad at him at the time. You want to know why I was mad? Because I thought that 15 grand belonged to me. I wanted it. But can I tell you something? That money that he gave away has multiplied in a multiplicity of ways to me that I could never, ever imagine. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Come on today. I want to live and leave an example that when I give, I got a picture up in my office of the fourth generation farm that my family live on. And under is the scripture that says a good man will leave an inheritance to his children's children. I'm working as an example to show not only my kids, but my grandkids that I am a giver. I am a blesser. I trust God with everything. I'm only a steward. But when he blesses the work of my hand, every area of my life is blessed beyond measure. Come on, can you say amen to that? I give because I have a personal devotion to Christ himself. And what will it be when I meet him face to face someday? I want him to say to me, as he did in the scripture of Matthew 25, I want him to look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, he said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided, not force, what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God, he loves it when you give happy, not when you give like a grump. Don't give. If you're a grump, don't give. You grump, don't give. Well, I guess I gotta. No, you don't. You don't have to give anything. There's no requirements. Nothing. Verse 11. This is what, if you do though, he said, if you do give, you'll be enriched. Here's that word again. In every way. I love that. Don't you love that? Woo! I love it. I'm blessed. Somebody broke into my car and they installed a CD player. You're blessed in every way. It's an old joke, but I thought it would work here. He said, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. It's beautiful. So let me just leave these three thoughts. Number one, you got to be intentional. You got to live by it. It can't be something that you just, oh, yeah, I guess we're going to do this. No, be intentional. You should pray. You should ask the Lord, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to give? How can I be a giver? Mark 12, 42 through 44, you know the story. A poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. And calling his disciples to him, Jesus says this. Now, you got to remember, in the temple, Jesus stood next to the what we would call an offering bucket. He stood there when people gave. That's how he knew what the widow gave and what the wealthy people gave. He stood right there. I wonder what if somebody stood next to you and you gave, what would he say? What would Jesus say? Good job? Or would he say, you gave more at lunch the other day than you give to me? He stood next to her and he said, called his disciples. He said, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, the crumbs, the excess. But she gave out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live in. And I said this in the first service. Until you step into that dimension, when you give and you take a big, deep breath, here we go, Lord. You have never lived by faith in the area of giving. And when you do, you'll watch and see God do some things in and through your life you could never imagine. He wasn't looking at the zeros, but he was looking at what was in their pocket. What did they give? That is why percentage giving is so important. A lot of people, they want to argue, well, the tithe is of the Old Testament. Yeah, so isn't don't kill your neighbor. So isn't don't commit adultery. Don't do it. But the Bible talks about a percentage of giving. And so if the man that makes $10,000 a year and he gives $1,000 a year, and the man that makes $100,000 a year and he gives $1,500 or $2,000 a year, who's given more? Not the one that has the $100 and he's given just because he gave more. But God doesn't look at that. He looks at the percentage of what you give and how you're faithful with it. Don't shout me down now. 1 Corinthians 3. If a man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. Listen to this. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive a reward. But if what he has built doesn't survive, he gets a big goose egg. See, if we do it for any other reason than for God's glory, if we do it to be seen, no reward. If we do it to be applauded, no reward. You get your reward. If you want to give and you want everybody to acknowledge what you did, and I don't have any problem with that at all. In fact, if anybody wants to come and just say, I want to pay off all the mortgage, I'll put your name, picture you, me. We'll get a picture with everybody. I don't care. But if you do, you got your reward. He says, but if you build it, it'll be tested by fire, and the fire will prove what remains, and what remains, you get rewarded in heaven. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to spend a whole lot more time in eternity than you do here on this earth. And all giving is not the same. Listen to this. Social justice minus eternal justice equals no justice. If I give to people with no eternity connected to my giving, and I'm off, we feed people 2 times a week out of the Generation Center. There's a food pantry that's open Thursdays and Saturdays. But if they never hear the gospel, if all we do is fill their bellies and say, go be warmed, we're not doing the best that we could do with them. They must hear the gospel of Jesus, because it's the only thing that will transform a life and give them eternal life. Amen? Come on, are you with me today? And 3, when we give, we need to know that our eternal giving matters. God has called me to make an eternal difference in others. And when I give, that's what happens with what I give. Amen. God has blessed me with more than I need so I can make a difference in the lives of others on purpose. And he'll use you. Amen. Amen. Come on, did you receive anything from that today? And I just want to encourage you at this time of the year. You put God first. Put him first. Don't let all the stuff, you know, I didn't even look around Black Friday. My goodness, I must have got 100 emails from e-commerce for Black Friday. I didn't buy nothing. I didn't even go buy a cup of coffee on Black Friday. Not that I didn't want it. I was busy. I was working on the farm. But get your giving. Get your finances. Be the steward that God has called you to. If you don't know how, just ask. I helped you a little bit this morning with understanding this. And he wants to bless your life and cause you to be a great blessing. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to give to the missions this month. Last Sunday of the month. This month we're going to give to our year-end offering, Benevolence, the youth center with the kids, big kids, and tag youth, and also building fund. I just ask you to be mindful. What would God have you to do in that? And I didn't share this message today to... I'm not in the manipulating business when it comes to this. I don't need to be. I just don't. And I never will be. It's just not me. It's not a part of me. I loathe it when preachers get on the TV and scream and say, send that $1,000 seed. That's baloney. Get in a covenant promise with God. Get in a covenant with God. Be a steward over what He has entrusted you with. Get into a family. Get in covenant with one another and watch God do powerful things. We can do more together than we ever can alone. You can do more with one another, holding arms together, believing God for what we can't do in our own strength. And if you're here, and we're going to have prayer at the end of the service, ushers, come on down. You can use the PushPay app this morning as well. There's a line on there that says year-end offering. You can use that. You can put it in an offering envelope if you use the PushPay, and you don't have to assign it to anything, but you can. Say, I want this to go to Benevolence. I want this to go to Youth Center. I want this to go to Building Ring. You can do that. Well, Father, I thank You today for Your kindness to us and the love that You show us. I pray blessing on Your people as they give today for Your glory and Your honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you today as you give. And prayer people, when you give this morning, I want you just to come down to the altar if you would.